From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
I'm Pavel Josipovich.
And I'm Alex Ionescu.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. We have some guests here who are the authors of a new book. Well, an old book, which is in a new edition, right? Windows Internals 7th Edition. Which is now out, coming out?
It's out.
Part one now.
Part one is out,
already
right?
Out.
Part one is out. Okay. This is, you can order this on Amazon. You can get this, is it ebook, I assume?
Both formats, yep.
Yeah, get it from Microsoft Press. We are lucky enough to have Pavel here over Skype from far away, and it's like 1 a.m. or something for him. So
very close, yeah.
So where are you, Pavel? You're in Israel or something?
Sorry, I can't hear Alex.
Oh, where are you?
Else.
Oh, he's asking, where are you?
I'm in Israel.
Israel, yeah. Right. I guess he can only hear me. We've got mic issues here. We'll make it work.
Anyway, so from a history point of view.
That's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
From a history point of view, back in, it was a long time ago, Helen Kustler.
Kuster, right?
Kuster. Did this back in, I'm looking at the copyright. Back in 93.
1993.
So just after NT 3.1 was released.
Windows NT. So really, this goes back as far as Windows NT itself.
Yeah. And then.
I can't hear anything.
Oh, no.
we'll get you.
Hear us at all?
So then.
No, only you, Chad.
Only me. Okay.
Then David Solomon helped Helen do the second edition,
yes,
which
Alex
is.
Alex was talking, but.
Anyway. So NT 4. 2000, then
Alex, say something.
2003 XP, 2000, and then 2008 Vista, which is 5th edition, I think.
Yep.
And then Windows 7 was 6th edition, and of note, that's when it broke into two parts because they physically couldn't print it with that many pages, and they actually reduced the paper size at the same time.
Right.
And so that's why we now have part one. So maybe one of you two can explain the difference between part one and part two, because they kind of have a different ethos, right?
Yeah, sure. So originally, the part one and part two were just standard splits based where the page count was based on. So we didn't really think of how to reorganize the chapters wherever Microsoft Press said, this is it. What we realized is that left a lot of interesting chapters that were related to part one and part two. And didn't really flow so well when you had to wait 6 months between the books and had two physical books to carry around. So one of the things Pavel did, which was a really great idea, was to condense all the initial chapters that have to do with processes, memory, security, I/O, all the main topics that the average developer is going to care about into part one, and then leave some of the other sections that are perhaps more low level, like system mechanisms, firmware, things like that. Into part two, so we figured maybe 80% of the audience would get what they need from part one and would be okay with waiting a little bit longer for part two.
Beginners and advanced books.
That's right, although maybe more advanced than super advanced.
Yeah, there's really no beginner Windows internals, I guess.
Right? I didn't actually bring it today, but sometimes this book is confused with the SysInternals book. So right. The SysInternals book obviously is about the SysInternals tools, you know, proc dump and process monitor and process explorer, all those goodies. And there is a section at the start which begins to teach you Windows internals. And then these books are without a doubt the next phase of that. If you want to, you know, go to the next phase and understand the true intricacies of these things, you know, this talks about bringing up a KDE debugger and looking at these structures and really diving into it. So if you're particularly a person who does debugging, this is where you want to be, where if you're really more the troubleshooting person, it's the SysInternals books. I'm not saying that these aren't without a doubt worth reading, but the depth level is developer level, really, rather than IT pro. So it's been a long time between books.
It has.
So
5 years or even more?
Yeah, so it was like Windows 7, so Windows 8, 0, 8, 1, and then
all the releases.
Four versions of 10 have come
since then.
So where does it kind of fit into, where did you start writing, where were we in the Windows ecosystem when we started writing the 7th edition? Where was that?
So Pavel, I think you're the one who initially started.
Yeah, I started writing in February 2016. So at the time it was Threshold 2 that was out. Mm-hmm. So I targeted Threshold 2. During writing, RS1 was out. So Alex and I decided to kind of fill in the gaps for RS1, the anniversary update. And finally, when we were almost done, RS2 was also closing in. So we did some more tweaking of some of the topics there. So it's kind of a crazy thing, writing with a moving target, we call Windows.
Did you find you have to readdress concepts, or was it more about just adding new concepts?
It was a lot of adding new concepts. One of the things I did when I helped with the 6th edition is we realized that some, and we got feedback from Microsoft as well, that some of the numbers that we were exposing were A, too internal for anyone to really care about, whether the thread runs 8 times or 7 times in a loop. Mm. And these are also the numbers that kept changing from release to release. So already in the 6th part, I made some parts more generic to say, you know, the thread runs in a loop some amount of times. So that made it easier not to have to retweak that.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of security boundaries that have turned up over the years. And I assume that took a fair brunt of the work.
I would think in the security section alone, we've added over 50 or 60 pages probably to cover all the new features like device guard, credential card, the mitigations, and also kind of changed some of the, you know, the way the book explains some topics. I like to rephrase things as kind of the world around security changes as well.
For sure, yeah.
One of my favorite quotes from the 4th edition, before I was involved, talked about how the graphics subsystem got moved into the kernel in NT4 and how that was a great idea and it would really be good for performance and that the security risks were minimal.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I did when I got involved is completely rip out that paragraph. So sometimes you have to adjust to realities like that as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Pavel, how about you? What did you find interesting and new?
I mean, because of the large gap between Windows 7 and Windows 10, there were a lot of topics to cover, a lot of new things, a lot of changes. So I guess I found something new in every chapter, starting with system architecture, all the virtualization-based security, all that stuff fairly new. And of course, security and in processes, there's the nested jobs in and silos that came in that Alex really likes. So there are a lot of stuff there. I mean, it's a book that could be written in 5 years. I mean, you can write it almost forever, but then you'll never get it out because Windows is also moving on.
Right.
So you, at some point, you have to kind of cut it and say, hey, that's as far as I can go, because otherwise, that's a never-ending story, in a sense.
It's interesting because we used to sort of release
just the reality.
Books, they used to kind of go along with a Windows release, right? Which was every 3 years or something, and now we've got a Windows release every 6 months.
Speaking, I haven't heard anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that we used to have Windows releases like every 6, you know, every 3 months. Excuse
three years.
Every 3 years. Yeah, yeah. Now we have them every 6 months. So when do you draw the line and cut it off and release the book, right?
I don't hear anything.
Oh, man, this microphone.
It's great.
My microphone's like super directional, apparently.
Yeah.
Go apparently. Lenovo with your very your noise-canceling mic. You can't hear if I'm off axis.
But you know, to address that, one of the things that made it hard for me to think about how the post-Win 7 books would turn out was even after 7, 8 came out pretty quickly. 8.1 came very quickly after that, and at that time there was no insider program. So without having, you know, internal source access to preview builds as they were being made, we had to wait for these OSs to come out for us to be able to talk about them. Mm. One of the great things for us, which, you know, we're external, we don't have source access, we do everything through reverse engineering, is the preview builds make it a lot easier to get piecemeal changes to Windows and to actually be able to write about as they're happening. So probably not the intent of the WIP program, but definitely very useful for such a book series.
And I know we've been more and more open with symbols. I think there's a lot more of Windows now where private symbols are available. So reverse engineering does become a lot easier when you can just go DT blah, right?
Yeah,
rather than having to look at assembler offsets. So particularly, I know that COM and CLR and all these things are all now private symbols. So it is much easier.
And the release of .NET Core and Windows Driver Framework on GitHub, although those are not topics we really cover, if you know that moves forward, that'll be a great thing
Definitely.
And you can just look at the source.
All good things.
Yeah.
And actually, that's the heritage of the books. I mean, when Mark and David wrote their editions, the earlier editions, they also reverse engineered it. They didn't have source code access.
Right.
And actually, I think it was David who deliberately didn't have access.
It was Mark.
Well, Mark.
Yeah, David actually had a contract that would allow him, you know, to ask questions and meet with the developer team. But Mark deliberately said, because of his other tools on the side,
kept it separate.
Yeah. Which is a good idea.
Was nice and delineated. Well, the part two. What's the ETA?
So that's a good question for Pavel.
Yeah, when we start, we'll know.
as you said, 80% of what you know need to know probably is in the first book.
Yep.
There's no reason just go buy it. I mean, if you're watching this show. These books and the SysInternals books, just go buy it. I don't know why you're wasting your time debating about it. It's so cheap as well. I mean, they're like $20-$30, whatever. It's nothing really in the end of the day.
I tell people it's basically the Bible. If you are troubleshooting Windows, or if you are deep into Windows,
right.
Like this book is, it should be on your desk.
It should be when you go to work and you open up your drawer. It's there as part of your office when you start it.
Yeah, it's the first thing you have to read every morning. At least one page.
Yeah. I always tell
and a
people,
different page.
It makes good bedtime reading because it's very deep and technical. It'll put you right to sleep at night. But
yeah. One way or the other, you'll have fun.
Yeah.
And honestly, for part two, that's a decision Microsoft Press has to make in Pearson, which they'll probably make based on sales numbers. So, you know, if people do go out and buy part one, they'll probably do a part two contract, but until that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I know internally when this was announced, it's like, oh, it's available. Everyone's just scrambling to get it. And of course, everything's sold out already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least put your order in and get in the queue. It will come. You can get the PDF straight away, of course. There's no physical limits to that. But the physical book is back ordered already, which is great news, right? It shows the desire for it.
I think
you see these things go on to like Amazon and stuff years in advance without even knowing that it's even in the works. I'll guarantee you there's probably an eighth edition already queued up on some website where you can pre-order it even though they don't know it exists or the price. But
I've seen a few screenshots on Twitter that people have sent me. Your order from May 11th, 2011 has shipped.
Yeah.
Right.
It's definitely one of those books which is highly regarded, and you guys have definitely kept the baton moving along with it.
I think if you walk around the Windows organization, that look in every developer's office, you'll find a copy. Mm. It's standard.
Case in point, I just went to my office and picked up this pile.
Right. If you go to Andrew's office, you have all the previous versions.
Well, we haven't done is shown it. We haven't.
Oh, yeah. So I think I have a screenshot of the cover here. We can pop up on the monitor there, or maybe we can
full screen it as well.
Full screen that. Yeah. That's the cover. Windows Internals. Kind of
reminiscent of the previous one. Did you have any say on the key? Was there any choice involved? Yours decreed?
I don't know. I think that came from the art. Maybe Pavel, that key, were you involved in the cover art at all?
Yeah. I was asked to choose between various gadgets and all look like something like plumbers use. the only thing I knew, which is a key. So I went with the key.
Wow. Oh. And Skype's having an issue here.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
We may have lost you.
Nice.
Yeah, but I can still hear you. Something.
That's what matters.
Anyway. Right on.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I look the same. You can just freeze the picture all the time. That's
it. That's right. Great. Well, we appreciate having you guys on. This is our first time on this show doing a Skype thing, and it was, we're still working through how to do that. But
we'll
I think it went okay.
Post.
Well, yeah, we'll fix it all in post.
Everybody
should go buy this book. Like we say, it's kind of essential. So,
all right.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, well, that's our show for this week. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
See you next week.